free Bible. I wonder what that's worth.
The Bible has a checkered past. Before the printing press, the Bible was copied out by hand, usually in a language that ordinary people couldn't understand. On top of this, the church banned them from reading it anyway. But the church didn't have a total monopoly on Bibles. Over 500 years ago, there was a heretical group of outlaws called the Vaudois. They lived in the Waldensian valleys, in the Italian Alps, just across the border from France.
In their mountain hideaways, they copied out portions of the Bible by hand.
Unlike the Latin Bibles owned by the churches, theirs were penned in the common tongue, which made them popular and easy to understand.
Grazie. Maresciallo, diamo un'occhiata alla macchina intanto.
Sì, buongiorno, sono il tenente La Guidara.
Cos'è?
It's an Aboriginal wind instrument.
The Vaudois hid the illegal material in secret pockets and false linings and smuggled it down from the Alps and into towns and cities throughout Europe. Under the guise of merchants, they sought out people who were sick of church religion and hungry for a true picture of God.
Okay. Andare.
Grazie.
Many of the Vaudois were caught. They were punished severely. Most were executed, but they weren't deterred. These people were prepared to be tortured and killed for the Bible. Why? Well, they had read the Bible for themselves, and their lives had been changed. They had seen a true picture of God, and it was very different to the religion of the church. So why did they have so much confidence in the Bible?
This is the Dead Sea, and despite appearances, it's one of the most inhospitable places on the planet. I mean, you can't drink the water. It's 10 times more salty than the ocean, but you can float on it. and you can rub mud all over your skin. And it's supposed to make your skin more vibrant and youthful. I'm sort of guessing that that happens after you wash it off.
In fact, this whole area is dry and salty, which makes it the perfect natural environment for preservation. Maybe I should stay here a bit longer. Perhaps the best example of this area's ability to preserve came to light in a very unexpected way. In 1947, so the story goes, a young Bedouin boy, Mohammed the Wolf, and his cousin were out here looking for a stray goat. Thinking that the goat may have wandered into one of the many caves that dot this whole area, they decided to take a look around. Unfortunately, it was getting dark, and without torches, the boys couldn't see a whole lot. So they threw some stones into the cave to see if they could hit the goat and find it by its bleating. Well, they didn't hear the goat. Instead, they heard the sound of breaking pottery. The next morning, Mohammed returned to the cave to see what his stone had hit. What he discovered would captivate the world and change our understanding of the Bible forever.
This is the College of the Barber, and it was in secluded places like this, during long winter months, that the Vaudois copied out the Bible by hand and memorised the scriptures.
These copy houses became a threat to the church's authority, and so they hired soldiers to hunt down the Vaudois and stop them spreading these handwritten Bibles. It's hard to imagine that kind of persecution happening today, isn't it?
I can't sleep, but at least I have my belief in this hungry land where the word of life is rare. In the underground,
没有太阳的时候, 但是太阳仍然是存在的。
Sometimes in our lives the sun is covered by clouds, but it doesn't mean that it doesn't exist. It's still there.
Very true.
对，圣经上也是说，有时候我们会经过很久不见太阳，很久不见星辰。
It's the Bible tells that there are cloudy days in our lives that we don't see for a long time. We don't see the sun.
圣经上也是说，有时候。
Life in prison was very difficult from a human perspective. There were a lot of physical things that you had to go through.
其实一个非常重要的就是我的良心里面没有恐高，我不是印度犯罪。
I was totally innocent. I have never committed any crime. I was there because I had started to proclaim that God is alive, Jesus is reality in the 80s communist China. That was the reason why I was in the prison.
But the government saw him as a criminal for that.
政府是看你的，就是你是一个犯罪的一个。政府啊，给的一个罪名是反革命时代。 You know, they called me that I'm the most dangerous contra-revolutionary in China. I did not even understand what am I contra against, and then, but it was later on the Holy Spirit let me understand. You know that when you start to preach in an atheist communist nation who have been brainwashing the people that there is no God, and you start to preach that God is alive, of course, from their point of view, you are contra-revolutionary. And they start to question in the prison, and they start to torture you. The first question they always ask me, how many hidden Bibles you have, and where have you received all these Bibles? And then they said, where have you been preaching from this Bible? And who are the people that you have led to the same belief where you are? Nobody had prepared me beforehand for all this persecution and all this suffering and pain and all these questions, how to answer. But I made up my mind, I'm not going to answer any of their questions. And of course, they used all the torture from the book and anything you have known about. They used all the ways, and they don't care about any human rights. They just use everything to get you to answer to their questions. Well, when they started the torture, they squeezed my hand on the table, and then they have a very thick injection needles, and they started to squeeze acid under the nails of my hand one after other, and say, you are not, you say you are not going to become a Judas, but we make you to talk. And it's impossible for any other human being to understand the intensity of the pain in your body. And the only thing I was thinking as I was fading away from and fainting, I said, I was thinking about Jesus on the cross when he said, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? I felt that the Lord has forsaken me, and I'm alone in this pain. I'm not a super strong believer. I said, Lord, for me to die would be a release. Lord, allow me to not come back to this pain. Allow me to come to you.
但是就在这个时候，主耶稣走出来了，孩子，我知道，你受的苦我知道，我要给你一个长刻的名，是命。But
that was the moment, the lowest moment, when Jesus came to me and he said, "My child, I know all the pain you are going through now. See, I'm going to open a door for you. No man is able to shut."
The sound Muhammad heard in the cave was the shattering of a pot. Inside the pot were scrolls, ancient handwritten documents that had remained preserved inside the cave for generations, placed there by a sect of the Jews known as the Essenes. Now, it was not the only pot or the only cave. In all, it turned out that there were 11 caves and over 900 manuscripts. The Essenes hid the scrolls during a time of religious persecution by the Romans in order to protect the scrolls from being destroyed.
As scholars studied these ancient scrolls, they discovered that about half of them were handwritten copies of the Hebrew Bible, the Old Testament. They also knew from the handwriting style that many of the documents had been written more than 100 years before the birth of Christ. For generations, scholars had argued about the Bible's reliability. In all that hand copying, had errors crept in? Had mistakes been made? And had the Bible stories become more fanciful? Well, scholars now had 2,000-year-old copies for comparison.
My role as the curator of the Dead Sea Scrolls is actually to make sure that next generations will have the chance to see the original Dead Sea Scrolls discovered by Bedouins in the 40s and to have a full grasp of the tremendous significance these original documents have for the understanding of the origin of Judaism and Christianity.
Dr. Reutemann, now I guess that most visitors that come to your museum come to see the Isaiah scroll.
Yes.
Do I understand that that is practically complete?
Yes. So in Qumran we discover out of the about 1,000 documents, but out of the 200 or even more biblical manuscripts, only one is a full copy of any biblical book. And this is the marvelous Great Isaiah Scroll discovered by the Bedouins in Cave 1 by the end of 46 or beginning of 47. And it is a full version of the same biblical books you and me we have at home. All the 66 chapters of the traditional book of Isaiah are contained in this specific document, the second largest scroll ever discovered in the Judean desert.
And that's a very exciting thing that you've just said.
Yeah, it's much more than exciting.
Because I've got a copy here of the English, of
yes.
course, English copy of Isaiah. Let me just find it. Here it is. So what you're saying is that as I read here, could you say essentially the texts are the same?
Yes. Yes, essentially it's the same. But the thing, though, that it's very significant is also the fact, and it's not less important, that we are not dealing with archaeology. We are dealing with a living tradition. Yes. For thousands of years, this tradition was kept by people who strongly believe in the power of the word. Mm-hmm. And I think that today, in a culture that is so powerful, the image. We have no DVD of Isaiah. We don't know how the guy looked like, but we have the word of the prophet Isaiah. And the Dead Sea Scrolls are the physical testimony of Isaiah's words. And his oracles, his message of a universal peace, pronounced 2,800 years ago in the land of Israel, is still relevant today.
I never forgot what happened one morning, one day, because once a week we got a very little tiny piece of steamed bread. And I was so hungry and I was just ready to start to eat my own little portion of the bread when I heard the Holy Spirit saying to me, you should give this to this serial killer and give your own bread to him. And I did not want to do that. It was totally, I felt I need this myself. And I was speaking to the Holy, I said, Lord, once a week I get this one little tiny piece of steamed bread. I'm a human being. My body needs all what is in this bread in order to survive another week. The Holy Spirit came back to me with using one word from the Bible, say, you give them something to eat. You give them something to eat. The Holy Spirit was just gently asking me, please, you give them something to eat. And I never forgot when next morning, when I put my pieces of bread into that water, I saw tears started to run from the eyes of the Syria killer. And he kneeled down on his knees and he was calling me my savior, my person of grace. So I immediately have to explain to this man, it's not that I love you so much, but Jesus who lives in me, he loves you. He commanded me to give this bread to you. And immediately this man started to say, thank you, Jesus. And he started to look around in the cell, who of these 20 men is called Jesus who have commanded me to give the bread to him? And so this became my opportunity to openly to share to all those 20 criminals in my cell who Jesus really is, what he have done for every person, every sinner of this world. And they all were bursting in tears and they kneeled down, and all 20 of them, they received the Lord that morning.
The Bible wasn't written all in one go. Its formation took over 1,500 years. Some parts were written by kings, others by fishermen, tradespeople, and farmers. The Bible includes poetry, history, parable, prophecy, and narrative. You'd think a document of that scope would be random and fragmented. So it's uncanny that a book that is so diverse, so widely translated and copied, would come together into such a cohesive narrative. Just imagine if a book today were written over 1,500 years by at least 39 different authors. What would it look like? Would there be a noticeable common thread running through it? Would it be completely consistent? In today's world, there are so many different beliefs. But beyond all these beliefs, there is a truth about God that is clearly outlined in the Bible. Essentially, the Bible follows a storyline. It tells the story of God, free, beautiful, powerful, and yet misunderstood. He can speak the world into existence, but won't force his people to love him. Harmony is shattered by catastrophe. An epic struggle takes place. Aliens are involved. A hero emerges. The villain is exposed. There is romance everywhere. Then it builds to a final showdown where truth and good win, and peace and harmony are restored to planet Earth. It appeals to the eternity that is etched into all of our hearts. It's like a map with a big red dot on it that reads, "You are here." It tells us where we came from, what's going on, and where we're headed. It's the greatest story ever told. It's no wonder this book just won't go away.
A religion at the best is only just like go to a restaurant and just study the menu, but never order and receive anything. You are just reading what is there, but you never place an order and you never receive. The truly Christianity is a personal experience to receive Jesus into your life.
Something that changes your life, not just something that you do.
改变你的生命。Amen.
Amen.也改变你的生活。
And it, not only your life, your whole into everything around you.
Because of this persecution, the Vidwa were forced to worship in caves like this. Here they were free to read the Bible and worship God in their own language. This personal experience is something we still enjoy today. Some were mocked, and their backs were cut open with whips. Others were chained in dungeons. Some died by stoning, and some were sawn in half. Others were killed with the sword. Some went about in skins of sheep and goats, hungry, oppressed and mistreated. They were too good for this world. They wandered over desert and mountains, hiding in caves and holes in the ground.
Throughout history, the Bible has often been an outlawed book. Yet in times of adversity, the Bible has flourished. Millions have died to preserve it. And people still suffer and die today. That much commitment at the very least has to make you wonder what all the fuss is about. The more I figure out the puzzle of the Bible, the more that I see that it shows God for who he really is. He's good. He's fair. He's patient. And desperately in love with every one of us. He offers us a life that is beyond our wildest dreams. But there are forces, seen and unseen, who'd prefer that you and I didn't know about this life and didn't get to see this picture of God. The Bible has a simple message for them. They won't win. As Isaiah simply puts it, all men are like grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord stands forever. So what's the Bible worth? Everything.